Mark 3:1. He entered again into the synagogue, and a man was there whose hand was withered. They were watching him to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath day so that they might accuse him. He said to the man with the withered hand, "Get up and come forward." And he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill?" But they kept silent. After looking around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out immediately, began conspiring with the Herodians against him as to how they might destroy him. Let us pray. Father God, we pray this morning, as we do week to week, that you will take this portion of your word, that you will bless it to us and help us to gain a better understanding and perspective of how you see things and how we should see ourselves and others as well. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. The title of the sermon today is, "Where is the hardness in your heart?" And if you notice, I spoke about hardness of heart in the call to worship this morning, and it speaks about hardness of heart here. I was reading through a book that I'm studying right at this time, and it's on the Christ of History, and something that Sinclair Ferguson was making clear that the history of the world has been a history of battles. And he uses the one going from Cain versus Abel to God versus the Tower of Babel, the Israelites versus the Egyptians, Goliath versus David, Babylon versus Jerusalem, Jesus and the Pharisees and Sadducees and the early Christians in their battles against the Roman Empire, and on it goes. And the battle is still taking place. And as we live in this battle, how then should we, as God's people, act and conduct ourselves? What should our attitudes be? Remember, Jesus here is dealing with the Sabbath. In keeping the Sabbath, what actually this means. I read from Mark 3. Let me read from the other two passages that align with this, that tell the same story. We have one in Matthew 12:9-15, and Luke 6:6-12. And these would be all you would need for any sort of an outline on this. But let me read from these. You had heard the first one, and just remember in the second verse it says, they were watching him to see if he would heal a man on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. In Matthew it reads, departing from there he went into their synagogue, and a man was there whose hand was withered. And they questioned Jesus, asking, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? So that they might accuse him. And he said to them, what man is among you who has a sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? So then, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and it was restored to normal like the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him as to how they might destroy him. But Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there. Many followed him, and he healed them all. And then Luke 6:6-12. On another Sabbath day, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. There was a man there whose right hand, notice specific there, his right hand was withered. And remember, a right hand on a man was very important. His right hand was withered. The scribes and the Pharisees were watching him closely to see if he healed on the Sabbath, so that they might find reason to accuse him. But he knew what they were thinking. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Get up and come forward." And he got up and he came forward. And Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath? To save a life or to destroy it?" And after looking around at them all, he said to him, the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored. But they themselves were filled with rage and discussed together what they might do to Jesus. It was at this time he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. Now, I wanted to read all three of those accounts to you, because when we're dealing with these stories, if you read one account, you get something. You actually get enough. If you read the next account, you get something a little more. And if you get the next account, you get something even more. And you have this wonderful fullness of the picture of what actually took place there. The first one, where it says they were watching him. Each one begins with him entering the synagogue, and there was a man there with a withered hand. And then the first one says, and they were watching him. This is with a malicious eye, is the word, the way the Greek word there that's used. And it means with a malicious eye, as if under a microscope. Sometimes I feel like people in the congregation are watching me like that, you know, just waiting for me. As I see. Just waiting for me to say something wrong or do something wrong. But this is how they were doing it. But it was with malice and it was with hatred, to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath day so that they might accuse him. Now, we know that it was okay that if you had a donkey or an ox that fell off the side of the road, that it was fine to do something like that. We know that it was actually okay to save a person's life. But couldn't the healing, couldn't you wait till Sunday to do that? Remember, they worshiped on Saturday. Just for any of you who said, "Wait, you said Sunday." Couldn't you wait until the next day? Would it have made a difference? But he makes it clear. We do this too, by the way. We do this one sometimes. I was thinking about this week when we're dealing with people who are sometimes other Christians. And they do love Jesus. They're just a little mixed up in some areas of their doctrines or understandings. And so when they start speaking about something, we kind of immediately, we don't do it with maliciousness, but we put them under the scope. And we're waiting. We wait for them to say something. Just go ahead and say that thing so I can catch you. Now, we do this with good intent, by the way. Usually. But it's the same type of thing, just to give you a picture of how this stuff still goes on. And then there are those who really are watching Christians today with maliciousness, because they hate us, because they want to see us do one thing wrong. It's not that they would say anything if we actually did heal somebody, but they watch our lives in the same way. And they were watching him to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. It says that in the first one. And on the second one, it says, and they questioned Jesus. They questioned. They weren't just watching him. They were talking to him. They were listening to him. They wanted to interrogate him a little bit. And so they asked him. And Jesus in his usual manner, is you ask me a question, I'll ask you a better question, one that you can't answer. Here, he says, and a man was there with a withered hand, and they questioned Jesus, asking, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him? And he said, what man is there among you who has a sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable than is a man than a sheep? So he asked actually two questions there, but then he gives the answer. So then, just to answer your question, by the way, man, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Again, their hardness of heart was the problem. This man wasn't the problem. Jesus obviously wasn't the problem. The hardness of heart. Let me go over to Luke's account there. I'm kind of working down through each one of these to add that little bit. Remember, the first one said they were watching him. The second one said they were questioning him. Luke says, the scribes and the Pharisees, not just the Pharisees here, but now the scribes and the Pharisees were watching him closely. Remember I said the microscope thing? They were watching him closely to see if he healed on the Sabbath so that they might find reason to accuse him. Then, this is the only one that says this, and I love this, but he knew what they were thinking. Remember, he's not just Jesus, he's God. He knew what they were thinking. And he said to the man with the withered hand, get up and come forward. And he got up and came forward. And in the other one, he said, in the first one in Mark, he said to the man with the withered hand, get up and come forward. And in the other one, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and it was restored to normal, like the other. Now, holding on deeply to my Calvinism, did you notice there was something for the man to do in each one of these? Get up. Come forward. Come to me. Stretch out your hand to me. Do you think anything would have happened had he not gotten up? I don't. I don't believe anything would have happened. Had he not stretched out his hand in faith to God, who had already beseeched him and came to him and said, now, I'm here. Now do this. Now, I don't want to liken this to our salvation, but I do want to liken it to our lives. We want God to heal us. We want to, but yet he says, do this. And we go, no, anything but that. I'll do anything, Lord, but that thing. But this man did exactly what he said. And by the way, I'm picturing this. He's telling him both, get up and stretch out your hand. Get up, come to me and stretch out your hand. And as he did this, it was restored. And he stretched it out. It didn't even say that Jesus touched him. And he got up and came forward. There's something that the man must do. There's something that we must do in our lives with Christ as we deal with our own crippleness. And we're all cripples of sorts. Remember I mentioned in the first in Luke there where it says there was a man whose right hand was withered. Because that was the main hand that people used for most stuff. That was the clean hand. Yeah, the left hand was always the bad hand. That's why left-handed people were kind of looked frowned upon throughout history. The right hand, my most important hand, is gone. It doesn't work. And God's graciousness there. I was reading some of Calvin's comments on this. I want to look at a couple here. And I don't usually read stuff from Calvin, but I thought I'd read a couple things. He said, first, then, things we must learn from this. We must learn from this passage to keep our minds pure and free from every wicked disposition when we are about to form a decision on any question. Because he's looking at the scribes and the Pharisees here. And sometimes, by the way, I just want to remind you, when we look at the scribes and Pharisees, we forget that sometimes we are like the scribes and the Pharisees. So we must be careful not to do the same thing. For if hatred or pride or anything of that description reign within us, we will not only do injury to men, but we will insult God Himself and turn light into darkness. And speaking, again, I remind you of the religious leaders of the day. As they watched what He did, they attacked His words. But one of the things that Jesus said here is when He said to them, what man is there among you who has a sheep, if he fall into Sabbath, will not take hold of him and lift him out? Because each one of them knows that they would because of the sheep. The picture also that we see again and again is in the Bible, who are we, the sheep? And Christ is seeing one of His sheep that is essentially in one sense fallen. He's in need of help. He's laying there. And again, I want to give it, especially for the children, the reminder that sheep are one of the stupidest animals in the world. They have very little intelligence. They need a lot of leadership. And that sheep were often known to play in mud. They like the mud because it keeps them cool. The problem with playing in mud when you're a big, furry, woolly thing is the mud stays on you. And the mud would often stay on them and dry on them, and then they would fall over and they would lay on their back with their feet up in the air because they could not get back up. So they would just die there if somebody didn't come along and put them upright. That's one of the reasons why they kept them shown all the time, to cut their hair off because of things like that. They would get caught up in bushes and stuff, you know, running through a bush, and because of their hair, that thick curly hair, anybody that has thick curly hair knows how this works. And all of a sudden, you're there, and you're there, you're stuck. It's like barbed wire. There's no getting out. This is how the sheep are. Who's not going to care for their sheep? And we are the sheep of God. And then he says, how much more valuable is a man than a sheep? How much more valuable is a man than a sheep? I'm doing this study on hell and I'm thinking how little we think about hell. We think about this eternity that God has promised for all those who forsake Him. And how little we sometimes do to help in the work of spreading the gospel so that people can not go there. Again, I know it's problematic as a Calvinist. We know God's going to save everyone He's elected. But man, we should want to be a part of that. We should want to be a part of what He's doing. So then it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And then he says in Luke, and Jesus said to them, I ask you, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath? To save a life or to destroy it? I love the phrase there. Think of the phrase that he's asking and to the many he's asking it to. He's saying, look, here's the deal, guys. I'm here. This guy's here with this withered hand, and I'm going to fix his hand. Now, is it good to do that, or is it good to do what you're about to do? Remember, it said he knew what they were thinking. Is it good to do what you're about to do and plan to kill somebody on the Sabbath? Because that's exactly what they did. They got so enraged with what Jesus did, they thought, well, let's find a way that we can kill Him. Well, that's really worshiping God in rightness and humility. We need to be careful that we don't become hard in our own hearts and our own understanding. When I belonged to the Christian Motorcycle Association, which was the biggest motorcycle association in America 30 years ago or 25 years ago, we were, Bonnie, no, I went by myself to Virginia. And there was this meeting there, and the guy that ran the organization, Herbie Shreve, he was an older guy, he was already in his mid-60s. He's my age. Then he was an older guy. And he was the main speaker there for the weekend. And I got there early, actually, a couple hours early, and was spending time fellowshipping with people and watching all the people riding in. And then it was time for the meeting, and Herbie wasn't there, and so we sang some songs and did a little praying, and prayed for Herbie, and he finally got there. Well, when he got there, he got up and he started to speak, and I think he had another speech ready for us, but then he was speaking of our hearts and our own self-focus and our lack of caring for others. Herb had broke down on the side of the road in his van. And as he was broke down on the side of the road in the van, waiting for somebody to stop and help him, all the motorcyclists who were going to the convention, and there were hundreds of them, were riding by. Now, the law, it's an unwritten law with bikers. If you see a biker broke down on the road, it doesn't matter who he is, you'll stop and help him. If he's a gang member, you'll still stop and help him. If he's riding a Japanese bike, you'll stop and help him. You stop and help anybody. It's like the unwritten law. And if you ride by, it's like, who are you? Did you just get your license last week? And you kind of forgive him for it. But see, Herb wasn't on the bike. He was in a van. So nobody stopped. Well, eventually somebody did stop to help him. If I remember right, I may be wrong. It was not somebody from the club. It was somebody else. And so as he's speaking these words, you're seeing head after head kind of going down like this, because these were the ones who had driven by the van. Because he's explaining, I was that green van on the side of the road right down here, about 80 miles from here. And people were going like this, because he made it clear, you're sinners because you were not willing to help somebody who was really in need. Because you were so self-interested and self-absorbed. Because your heart was just set on you. So it's a little different than hardness of heart. But it kind of follows that pattern. So I think about us. If we see people who are in great need on the Sabbath, in other words, if you're racing to church, it's the last minutes, you're there, you're going down the highway, and all of a sudden you see somebody who's broke down in need. An older woman, perhaps. Let me just use this as an example. An older woman. Got somebody past their 50s. Broke down on the side of the road. Probably going to church herself. What do? You're going to be late for church if you stop. Or do you just pray real quickly? Oh God, bring somebody to help them. Or do you actually say, let me stop, and God will honor my helping somebody on the Sabbath? That's all the further I'm really going to take this. I could probably go a whole bunch of different places with this. Again, but the picture here is, there's that man in need. There's that person who's asking for help. That person who needs it. And then there's that person who's able to give it. Now, we know that we can't do all the things that Christ did, although by the power of prayer, we should be able to do a lot more than we do sometimes. But there are certainly many things in our day-to-day life, many occurrences and opportunities that God literally throws in our face that we sometimes disregard because of the hardness, the callousness, the selfishness that we have in our own lives. I want to encourage you this week, don't be hard of heart, be soft of heart. As you run into these situations, as you see opportunities to help, be willing to help. Be willing to give up a little bit of your time to make your life a little more uncomfortable. For men especially, as you see somebody who might need help, and some of these things require you actually getting dirty. Lord forbid that we should get too much dirt on us. Be willing to do that. Gentle in attitude. Servants. Willing and glad to heart. Knowing that we never know when we help somebody, when we also at the same time may be able to both meet a physical need and to meet a spiritual need. I believe that the man whose right hand was healed by Jesus was also saved by Jesus. And I believe that oftentimes in our lives when we demonstrate goodness, not because we're good people, but because God has called us to be that sort of people, then we also have opportunity. And some people like to use the term earn the right. Well, we don't earn the right. But people are more willing to listen to you when you help them than when you just pass them by. So take some time this week and try to do that. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you have called us forward. Allow us to stretch out our life before you so that you might heal us and that you might heal us entirely. Lord, we know that our bodies will still deal with stuff at times, but Father, we thank you that as we've seen here that you not only healed that man, but all those that followed him, they were all healed too. Father, we thank you for the greatness of who you are. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to be a people who love you more, and Lord, because we love you more, that we will also have a generous heart toward those in this world. Lord, even toward those who hate you and hate us. Lord, help us not to get caught up in the foolishness of our own minds, but Lord, to turn always to your word, to follow the ways that you have set before us. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.